KOIN in Portland, it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger has warned Turkey and all American allies not to think they're doing the U.S. a favor by, in his words, remaining in alliance with us. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger told an audience in Atlanta that any allies whose national interest changes will find the U.S. ready to adapt or to end the treaty relationship with the country. But, said Kissinger, no ally can pressure us by a threat of termination. The speech appeared to be the first official response to Turkey's statement last week, calling for talks with the U.S. within a month and threatening to shut down American bases if the ban on sending arms to Turkey is not lifted. The Senate has voted to lift the ban. The House vote is upcoming. In his speech, Kissinger also called for concessions by all parties in the Mideast situation, saying, "We are now at a point where there must be a turn either toward peace or toward new crises." Kissinger referred to President Ford's statement that the U.S. will not accept stalemate or stagnation. The secretary's speech Monday night is one of a series he plans around the country in the next few months. More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hello, world. Danny Bracken from Mike Roy's Cooking, and I believe there is something fishy going on around here, Chef.
You caught on quickly, Danny. Tomorrow we're going to make Red Snapper Solvang.
Red Snapper Solvang?
That's right. It's a bit of a Scandahoovian way. It's got some dill in it. I guess that's what makes
it. Is this going to be a dilly of a Red Snapper, Mike Roy?
Huh? I'm glad you said that.
Why?
The folks can snap up this recipe on our broadcast tomorrow.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't say that. Yes, Red Snapper Solvang tomorrow, right here on Mike Roy's Cooking on the CBS Net.
Uganda's President Idi Amin has changed his mind again and ordered 61-year-old British author Dennis Hills to be executed next week. Amin says the only way Hills can be saved is for British Foreign Secretary James Callaghan to come to Uganda in the next 10 days. Bob Dyke has a report on Callaghan's response.
Callaghan told Commons that Britain is willing to comply with some of President Amin's demands, but not all of them, and certainly none of them, if British writer Dennis Hills is shot a week from Thursday, as President Amin has ordered. Though Callaghan addressed his remarks to Parliament in London, his words seemed directly aimed at the presidential palace in Kampala.
It is utterly wrong that a man's life should be bartered against political conditions. President Amin has only to exercise clemency, and he would have the opportunity for the full discussions for which he has asked. I ask him, without conditions, to spare Mr. Hill's life.
Yes. Callaghan said he was not only concerned for Hill's life, but for the safety of more than 700 other British residents currently living in Uganda. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
Portuguese socialists demonstrated in the streets of Lisbon Monday night, showing their solidarity and backing the new military government in its stand, allowing a multi-party system. Bill McLaughlin was there.
In all, there were about 15 to 20,000 marchers, far less than the hundreds of thousands the Socialist Party leaders had hoped for. The fewer numbers might be explained by the generally calmer political situation here this week. The marchers seemed to represent a broad spectrum of Portuguese life. They were not all socialists, for the Socialist Party has become the leader of the moderate wing of this country's politics. One of the most popular slogans of the march was aimed at the Communist Party's claim to represent the people. If we are not the people, the marchers chanted, then where are the people? There were few important politicians at the march. Most of the political leaders have flown to the Portuguese African colony of Mozambique for the Independence Day celebrations there 2 days from now. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, Lisbon.
Now this message.
They said it couldn't be done. Kill fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Why should your dog suffer with fleas and ticks? If he's not wearing the Hearts two-in-one collar, get him one today. It'll make his summer beautiful.
It really works killing fleas. Helps end tick miseries. The two-in-one.
two-in-one collar from Hearts.
The Hearts two-in-one collar, one incredible collar that kills both fleas and ticks.
Where do you keep your guns? In a drawer? Closet? In a rack on the wall? Every day across the country, crimes are committed with stolen guns. Stolen because simple security precautions were not taken by someone. When possible, lock your guns in place. Run a steel strap or chain through the trigger guards of rifles and handguns. And if your guns are stolen, notify the police immediately. This is Chuck Connors for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
A report from Beirut says firing broke out early Tuesday in the city's suburbs, the same area where right-wing phalangists and Palestinian commandos battled last month. Reuters News Service says security forces are trying to stop the firing, but no other details are available at this time. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The U.S. Atomic Safety and Licensing Board has scheduled two public hearings tomorrow, one in Oregon and the other in Washington, on licensing of two proposed nuclear-powered electricity-generating projects. At 10 a.m. hearing in Arlington, Oregon, we'll consider environmental matters and site suitability for Portland General Electric's two proposed Pebble Springs nuclear plants in Gilliam County. An Aberdeen, Washington hearing, also starting at 10 a.m., will consider the application of the Washington Public Power Supply System to build two proposed nuclear projects at Sansip in Grays Harbor County. A recall effort against Multnomah County Commission Chairman Don Clark was organized in Gresham over the weekend. The recall Don Clark Committee claims to represent several groups, including the Oregon Wildlife Association, the Multnomah County Retired Employees Association, and a sizable number of Vietnam veterans from Multnomah County. Don Carmichael, director of the Montevilla Senior Adult Center, another group represented by the committee, was elected chairman, and Larry DeHazen, director of Project Return, a service for Vietnam War veterans, was named vice chairman. This is not a personal vendetta, Carmichael said. This is a protest against cutbacks in the entire range of social services in this county. The two officers said they need 30,000 signatures to force a recall vote, and in their words, we can easily get 45,000. Taking a look at some ball scores in the National League, St. Louis in the first game. St. Louis took both games, incidentally. In the first game, 1-0. The second game, 4-0. Cincinnati 8, Atlanta 4. Philadelphia 6, Pittsburgh 5. Chicago 6, Montreal nothing. Houston 6, L.A. 5. San Diego 7, San Francisco 6. In the American League, Cleveland 11, Boston 2. New York 6, Baltimore 1. Milwaukee 8, Detroit 4. We still don't have a final on the Texas-California game. After 11 and a half innings, they're still scoreless. And we do have a final on Oakland-Minnesota, Oakland 5, Minnesota 2. Taking a look at the weather forecast, chance of a few showers and partial clearing at times through Tuesday and Wednesday. Lows near 50 degrees, highs in the low to mid-60s. Chance of measurable rain, 40% tonight and Tuesday, 70% Tuesday night. The temperature right now in downtown Portland, 56 degrees. That's KOIN News to 8 and a half after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The thought has been phrased many ways. Sir Walter Scott's will serve for this story. But come he slow or come he fast, it is but death who comes at last. A statement we all have to accept, but how few of us risk it coming fast. Which brings us to this story of a headstrong girl named Valerie Reynolds, who for her own mysterious reasons refused to heed all warning of danger from the man she should have listened to before all others.
Jeff, will you mind your own business? I'm going back to the inn, and Herr von Dorn is driving me there.
Get out of that car now. I'm warning you.
Warning me? Of what?
Okay. You asked for it. This character you're chasing around with is...
Chasing around? I've had it. Let's go, Hendrick. I'm not going to listen to any more.
You'll listen. Lay off this guy if you know what's good for you. He's a... murderer.
Our mystery drama, The Mills of the Gods, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Joan Copeland and Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There are times when you feel like rolling, when the whole world's standing by, and you know just where you're going, don't you know when you're riding high, when the rest of the world is dying, you hit the road and you climb, 'cause you're a free spirit, one of a kind.
There's a lot of free spirit at your Buick dealers. If you're thinking about a new car, he has lots of bright, shiny, free-spirited Buicks for you to choose from. If you're thinking used car, your Buick dealer has a good selection of those, too. If you want a checkup for your present Buick, or to get your car in shape for a trip, his service department has everything it takes. Free spirit at your Buick dealer. It's part of every deal.
Free spirit, one of a kind.
I can't find a decent job. Now, I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. But why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Job
for Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Paris in the summer is just as gay and just as lovely as the spring. But like most big cities, it is hot. And it is crowded. Not so much with Parisiennes as with tourists. The bulk of them, as always, American. But there are other Americans in Paris, too. And if they are old hands looking for a familiar face, they head down the Boulevard Saint-Germain at the aperitif time for Les Deux Magots, the sidewalk cafe that is the crossroads of the world.
Dick!
Jeff!
I can't believe it!
You're the last person I expected to find here.
And you're the last I expected to see.
Why? Didn't Val tell you?
What?
Where? It's hot. Just let me get something cool.
Wait a minute. Didn't Val tell me?
Yeah, but I was coming back from the Mid-East.
Oh, well, she couldn't very well. Neither one of us have been in Paris. I went down to Antibes for a week to get out of the heat, and Val left nearly a week before me.
Left? For where?
Oh, some little hotel at Scheveningen.
Den Haag?
Yeah.
Holland? Hey, but that doesn't make sense.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah, but I've been writing her every day, and I've gotten replies, and they were all postmarked from Paris here.
Oh.
I thought she was at the flat. What'd she go to Holland for?
Oh, I don't know. Get away from the heat, I suppose. And Scheveningen's got a gorgeous beach.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any friends there.
Look, my sister has friends everywhere. And she didn't expect you to bust out for at least a month.
Roving TV correspondents are about as reliable as the weather report.
I know.
Except, I have big news. I'm going home to the States to be second banana on the New York WBS team.
Ah.
I'm a success at long last, and I came back with wedding bells jangling in my ears.
Well, you know, she's going to flip when she finds out she wasn't here to greet you.
You got a phone number?
No. Ah, wait a minute, Larry. If we get back to the apartment, I can give you her address, and you can write her.
I'm going to do a hell of a lot more than that, brother-in-law-to-be. I'm going to go join her at Scheveningen just as fast as I get that address from you. There's something out of whack about this whole thing. You'd have to know Val as well as I do to understand why I was worried. I mean, really worried. First off, she's the most honest, open person I've ever known. sometimes too much for her own good. And then she's reckless with herself. I mean, you don't become one of the world's top downhill skiers with two Olympics behind you without being that. And that's where I met her, skiing. Of course, I'm not in her class. At skiing, anyway. Also, she's rich. I mean, really rich, which is the only thing... Well, it's the main one, anyway, that's held up our marriage. But there are a lot of guys in Europe who don't have the same scruples and are after rich wives who also happen to be beautiful. And last of all, I'd been away from her for too long.
Well, at least the concierge cleared up the mystery about the letters.
No, he didn't clear it up at all. He only made it worse. Why would Val have been sending him letters in an envelope addressed to him to mail to me as though they came from Paris?
I don't know. You got me. Doesn't make any sense.
Look, just give me that address so I can find out.
Right, right. It's right here on my desk somewhere. Oh, well,
son, oh, this desk.
Yes, here it is. Hotel Maduro Say. Now, why couldn't I remember that?
Any idea where this hotel is?
Oh, no. Beach stretches for miles. Most of it's lined with them. Why don't we try calling her? It must have a phone.
No.
Jeff, look, nothing's gone sour between you two, has it?
Not as far as I know. But there's something about the picture I don't quite like. One thing about your sister, she kind of stands out in a crowd. She won't be hard to find. The hotel turned out to be small and far to the south, but it led me to where I'm standing now, on a sand dune just outside Zandvoort. It's a high, clean summer day with bright sun and glorious blue skies. But for me, everything's outlined in burning red, and the sand stings against my eyes. At this moment, now, I'm watching the woman I love, Valerie Reynolds. The afternoon sun silhouettes all the long, clean lines of figure, tall and slim next to the big, powerful, bearded man beside her. And then, as I watch in what seems agonizing slow motion, they turn towards each other and I see Valerie, my Val, take his hand.
Valerie.
Yes, Henry?
You are so incredibly lovely, desirable. I adore you, and you are perfection. But you know that.
Hardly. If I were perfection, I wouldn't be a real flesh and blood woman. And if I weren't a woman, how could I be in love?
With me.
Let me go, Henry.
Why, have I said something wrong? Done something?
Scarcely. At least not yet.
Then why? Why do you resist? How stupid of me. Of course, I have been in too great a hurry, rushing things. It is a matter of time, no?
No is right. It is more a matter of tide, since we're not dressed to swim.
How?
The next wave, or at least the following one, and we'll really get our feet wet. Now, if we don't move, the tide's coming in fast. Shall we go?
Oh, you are right. And it is the next. Run, Valerie, run.
I'll race you to the dunes.
And if I catch you?
As we old Yankees say, first catch your fish and then... Oh!
Are you all right? Did you turn your ankle?
No, I'm fine. I just stepped in a hole. Would you help me up?
No, I have a better idea. Look, we are beyond the tide line. I'll join you. Sit beside you. The sand is warm. The sky is so blue. Maybe I will just lie here a moment. How beautiful you are.
Between the wind and the sand, I'll bet.
Like some Greek nymph washed shoreward by the restless sea.
Love words. Challenging. Enticing. Like your music.
You make more music for me than I ever can from the piano. My words are all of love. We were speaking of love, remember?
Yes.
And my question still remains unanswered. I love.
I love the sea, the dunes, and the feel of the sand warm against my back, and the wind washing the sun gently across my face. What do you think has brought me here every day, away from the beach crowds at Svenningen, the noise, the laughter, the parties? You still haven't answered me.
Men. And the eternal question. No, don't say anything, Henry. Let me. I came here that first day because I love the dunes, the sand, and the sea, and the silence. And then, walking along the sea's edge, the wind brought me your music. A real siren song drifting on an offshore breeze from your old windmill. And I crept into the shadow of the dunes to listen. Unseen. A little drunk on the music you can coax from that piano.
No, not unseen. I saw you come day after day.
My feet and my heart kept leading me back.
I wanted to call to you, to come to you. But each time when I left the piano, by the time I reached the ground floor and onto the beach, you had vanished. Almost like a dream. Until today. When I left, you were waiting.
And we said hello and walked towards the water, and suddenly we were hand in hand. Yes, I am in love.
With me?
And for the moment, in love with love. Isn't that enough?
We could start to find out. Kiss me.
No.
Enough?
This is a little public, isn't it?
There's no one to see or care.
I'm afraid you're wrong. Way down there, up on the dunes, the two figures.
Where? Oh, yes. Yes, you are right. Oh, but why should they care anything about us?
Oh, I'm sure they don't. But what we have, I care about. It is for us alone.
Don't get up. Don't leave.
Today I must. You and I, we will make a private meeting. Just for the two of us. Where we will be alone. Walk me to my car.
Far away from the dunes, I've watched Val and this man. I don't need to hear any words to know it's a love scene. It's there in every gesture and every move. I'm sick to my stomach with disbelief. I never dreamed that I would really have lost Val to another man. And for the first time in my life now, I have the unbearable feeling of being absolutely alone.
The lady is a friend of yours?
Voice out of nowhere, I turn. Belongs to a small man in an ill-fitting, old-fashioned English walking suit. A pair of binoculars in his eyes. He lowers them and comes towards me. Limping slightly on his right leg as he repeats.
Mille pardon if I intrude, but the lady is a friend of yours?
Yes. Under the circumstances, maybe I should say was.
Ah, l'amour, monsieur. Man's escape from reality. The great illusion.
What?
The trap. Love. It is a veritable trap. Monsieur will observe that I am a bachelor.
So?
The only safe condition.
Monsieur, do me a favor.
But of course.
Would you mind taking yourself and the philosophy course and blow?
Blow?
Scram. Make yourself scarce. Allez-vous en.
Oh, yes, of course. But first, monsieur, just one more thing. Your young lady, she needs help.
No, not from me. Not this time. Not ever again. She made this bed herself, so let her lie in it.
Even if she is in grave danger?
What danger?
This man. Take it from me, I know. To my certain knowledge, he is responsible for the deaths of at least 3 young women. In short, monsieur, this is not a man. He is a murderer.
He looks up at me, this little man who has materialized beside me from nowhere. His eyes quizzical and as brightly black as a bird's. I have no idea who he is, but something about him, somehow, makes me know that he's telling me the truth. And suddenly, I find myself running across the dunes, running to intercept them and ready to do battle with this stranger who has stolen my love from me.
Well, now, here's a nice tangled little web to unweave. With all the classic six questions on murder. Who is the little man with the limp? What is Hendrik Van Dorn after? Why has Valerie forgotten a man she so recently planned to marry? How is the murder to be accomplished, if indeed it is planned? And where will it be, or when? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Take stock in America. Look what we've done. 200 years behind us and we're walking in the sun. We're going and we're growing, taking stock in our land by buying U.S. savings bonds through the payroll savings plan. Take stock in America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds and keep us going strong. In America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds, and keep us going strong.
A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
As Valerie and the big bearded man walk slowly from the beach up on and over the dunes, they are slanting away from the running Jeff, unaware of his approach. Then, as they clamber up to the road on top of the dike, Hendrik is obviously urging her back to his windmill. But Valerie turns resolutely towards her small sports car, parked precariously on the inner edge of the dike.
But I want to show you the inside of my hide, my sanctuary. Come to my studio inside the windmill. I will play for you.
Oh, I'm dying to see your studio and the inside of the mill, but today I have a luncheon appointment at my hotel, and I must get back.
Then allow me to drive you there.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think of it. It must be 2 or 3 miles.
It is a lovely day, and I enjoy a good walk back or exercise.
Am I that important to you?
Oh, in fact, I shall insist. Unless you can assure me that I don't have a rival.
Oh, I can assure you, Hendrik, you have no rival. There's no one I'm more interested in than you.
And, when can we be alone together?
Shall we make it Sunday, 2 days from...
Al! Al!
Here comes a young man in a hurry. He seems to know you.
Al, darling, wait!
Oh, why don't you wait for him? He seems to know you very well. I thought you said...
Shh. Well, for heaven's sakes, Jeff Garrett. Where on earth did you pop up from? What are you doing here?
A few minutes ago, that's what I was asking myself.
Well, this is a surprise. How are you? You're looking well.
Frankly, I wish I hadn't been.
Hadn't been what?
Looking well at the two of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't believe you two have met. Hendrik, this is Mr. Jeff Garrett, roving TV correspondent for World Broadcasting back in the States. A very brilliant young man. Jeff, this is an equally brilliant pianist, Hendrik Van Dorn.
Pleasure to meet you.
I'm glad you think so. Well, the pleasure isn't returned.
Jeff!
Move over, Val. I'm driving you back to the hotel.
Just a moment. I believe you are mistaken. I think Miss Reynolds prefers to have me drive her there.
Not on your life, Bud.
Jack, what's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind?
It seems to be about the one thing I haven't lost.
Don't talk silly.
Then you stop acting that way.
I think you're the one who's acting out of turn.
In what way?
As if you owned me.
Haven't I been given every reason to think so?
Oh, all right, that's enough. I'm going back to the hotel, and Herr Van Dorn is driving me.
Get out of that car, or move over. I'm warning you.
Warning me of what?
This character you're amusing yourself with.
Amusing myself? Okay, brother, I'm not listening to any more.
Oh, you'll listen to this. I'll lay off this guy if you know what's good for you. He's a murderer.
Oh, well, now that really tears it. Hendrik, please, get in the car.
Look, if you don't believe me, look at his face. If that doesn't convince you, ask...
Get in, Hendrik. Ask who, Jeff?
The little guy back there, the one with the limp. Hey, what happened to him? Where'd he disappear to?
I don't know, but I suggest wherever it was, you beat it there, too.
Oh, wait a minute, Val.
Oh, why don't you pay attention to me, you fool? Get away from me. There's never been anything between us, and I never want to see you again.
That's really the way you want it?
How else? That's just the way I want it. You've almost spoiled everything for me. Please, let's go, Hendrik.
Your wish is my command. Well, Valerie.
Well, Hendrik.
I thought you said there was no one else.
There isn't.
And this Jeff. He seemed to think...
Oh, he's a fool. He follows me everywhere. He has this big thing for me. I can't get rid of him. He's just a drag. I mean, he's a nuisance. He doesn't mean anything to me.
But from the things he said, the way he spoke...
I told you, he's a fool.
So, I am still to expect you on Sunday.
Of course. What could have changed that?
Many things.
But I've told you that he doesn't mean anything.
Yes, the American. Well, I've forgotten about him, but... But not something he said.
What, Hendrik?
Valerie, that is not my real name. You see, what your countrymen said of me is in a way true. 3 months ago, I was tried for the murder of my wife in Paris. I am French. My real name is Jean Rochelle.
I know. And you were acquitted.
You... Of course, it was quite a lurid trial. What you would say in America, a three-ring circus. I suppose you must have read of it.
I did.
And still you are not afraid of me?
I came to Paris for the end of the trial. I saw you in the court and I... You literally swept me off my feet. I knew you were innocent.
You knew?
That was what the court found you. She... shot herself accidentally, didn't she?
Yes. Yes, poor Eve. For a long while, I felt it was my fault that I should have left her loaded gun while I was away for a few days. It was stupid of me. I was only anxious to protect her. I adored her beyond life. Everyone knew that.
Every woman in that courtroom did. Everyone was on your side.
Oh, not everyone. One is tried, placed in the dock. And the stigma still clings. That's why I fled here, to Holland. To my lonely windmill retreat, where we had been so happy together. I thought this beard would help too. But even here I am found out, and the gossip will begin again.
I won't start it.
Thank you. I'm surprised you recognized me.
You could never hide from me, Hendrik. You see, I use your new name for a new life. When I found you on the beach and recognized you, I felt perhaps we could start one together and make this one a good one.
Valerie. I said I loved my wife, but I feel now I never knew what love meant till I met you.
We'll find out. But here's the hotel, Hendrik. I hate to think of that long walk back for you.
A dream. I will be walking on air.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Ah. Non, sir.
Excuse, you will pardon my presence in your room, uninvited, I hope.
How did you get in here?
In my profession, one has ways. Unofficial sometimes, but as you see, effective, huh?
Who are you?
Permit me to introduce myself. Inspector Michel Beauvais, Paris Police. My credentials, here.
Oh, the surety.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the little man with the limp.
Pardon?
You were the one who told Jeff that Hendrik was a...
Oh, that Hendrik Van Dorn, as he calls himself, was a murderer. Correct.
But why did you disappear?
Well, one must observe, mademoiselle, that I am known to this man. He must not see me. But it is of the utmost importance that I see you. Therefore, my unwarranted presence in your room. You see, we must talk together, you and I.
What is it we have to talk about?
Oh, about your safety and a very dangerous man.
Hendrik?
Hendrik.
Why so dangerous? Didn't you police acquit him?
The courts, mademoiselle, not the police. And only this murder.
There have been others?
Alors, I have only admiration for you, but let me tell you of this man. He has a magnificent talent for the piano, vraiment. And he is an heroic figure, sans doute. For years, he has used these gifts to trap, shall we say, at the least, trusting women. First, money and jewels, and when that is not enough, marriage, settlements that make him the one to inherit. And then, unfortunate accidents. 3 times that we know of, he has been married. 3 times a grieving widower. And each time, he is left richer than before.
But that's incredible. Why haven't the police managed to...
But the police, mademoiselle, unlike Hendrik or Jean Rochelle, or however you call him, are only human. He is very careful. This last time, we actually thought we had him trapped, but enfin, alas, he slipped our noose again. What matters is that I am here to warn you. He is a vicious murderer.
You don't have to warn me. I know.
You know?
Now it is my turn to talk, Inspector. You see, this last wife of his, Eve Stallings, was one of my best and closest friends. We grew up together. We went to the same schools. We skied together. We were as close as sisters. Now, I was back in America because my father was very ill, but I knew that Eve had flipped over this Jean Rochelle. And it wasn't until I was coming out of the sadness after my father's death that I heard about her death and the trial. I left for Paris immediately.
But why?
Because I wanted to be a witness. I knew Eve could never have killed herself.
Oh, so you believe, as I do, that this was no accident. Knowing that, how can you risk your life with this man you believe murdered your friend?
He likes attractive, young, and rich women. I am young, I'm attractive enough, and unreasonably rich.
Huh? And you had some idea of taking the law into your own hands?
I can't tell you exactly what I had in mind, but I knew from a letter I'd gotten from Eve that they had this little hideout in an old mill at Sunport.
Uh-huh.
And the authorities seemed to be letting this louse get away with it. So while I was waiting for the man that I love to return from the Middle East, I thought I'd try to measure up for Eve's sake.
Mm-hmm. What was your plan?
To rope him in if I could first, and then...
And then what? When the whole Paris Sûreté, the police, had failed, how did you hope to succeed?
Well, I might be able to make him confess the truth.
Could we not work together, you and I?
That brings me to a question of my own. What are you doing here?
Like you, I am unsatisfied by the turn that justice has taken. Besides, it is my vacation. I am a bachelor. I have
No ties.
But no jurisdiction here in Holland.
No, none. My hopes are as flimsy as yours. Until now we have met. Now I think together we could trap him if you would risk it. I do not think you have to fear him so much if you are not married to him.
Married to him? I don't think that's Hendrik's general notion.
Oh, but of course it is. Do not delude yourself for a moment. He has not recognized you. You satisfy the two cravings of his soul. Soul, if he can be said to have one.
What?
You are very beautiful and very rich. Parbleu, you are the perfect piece of cheese to catch a... Mademoiselle will, forgive the figure of speech, huh?
If I looked strange, it wasn't because of that. It was Jeff.
The headstrong young man I met earlier.
I've heard him so terribly. How can I find him to explain?
Don't worry. You must allow me to do that.
No. I want to do it myself.
Now, trust my instinct in this, please. For once, it would be better for a policeman to do it than a woman, even one so desirable as you. Now, let us make our plans together how we must trap this rat.
So now, all of our questions have been answered except how, or if a murder is to be committed, or rather how it may be prevented if the rat is not deceived by either the lure or the trap. As I said in the beginning, this is a story of a headstrong girl. Let's hope she's strong enough not to lose her head. I'll return in a moment with Act 3.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living. But there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects. Or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
Sunday at the old windmill on the beach. A day of peace and quiet and tranquility. The breeze off the water, under cloudless skies, is less than 5 knots. Outside, the vanes stand fixed, unmoving. Inside, although the owner is not presently there is considerable activity in the top or attic floor.
Okay, Inspector. Look, here are your microphone wires.
Lead them over here to the receiver.
I don't know why I ever agreed to this with you and Val. No wonder she was afraid to let me know what she was up to. It's crazy.
Ah, why, Monsieur Chef? It is perfect. Here we are on the third floor of the windmill. Exactly below us is Hendrik's living quarters, which as soon as I attach, These last wires are totally bugged. And if there is any danger, we are one flight of stairs away.
No, it's my girl who might be in danger. It's not yours.
Oh, but she is armed, and so are we. Today, he is not interested in money, or jewels, or annuities. The factors of his own peculiar profession. Today is only for the woman herself, huh? For love.
Yeah, well, that gives my morale a real lift. Is this electronic apparatus really going to work?
You should know. You are on the TV.
I'm on camera, not off. I'm no engineer.
Yeah, be of good heart. Why don't you descend for a moment and make a test so I can be sure?
Yeah, you're too right. This has got to be it.
All right, now say something, not too loud.
I'm standing in the middle of the room, near the piano.
I'll walk around the walls. Keep talking.
One, two, three. Testing, testing, testing. I hold a merry old farmer in the dale. Can you read me? And if you can't, why the blip, 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 can't you, for the love of blip? You read me?
Paul Fettimore, come upstairs now and close the door at the bottom.
Well, it works.
Oh, like a charm, and you sing very well. Look at the time. Check and see if they are coming.
They should be here any minute.
Do you see any cars on the dike?
It's kind of hard to see. One arm of the damn windmill stretches right across the window.
But you can see through the weather vanes?
Sort of. Uh-oh.
What is it?
Looks like his car.
Huh?
Yep. They're almost here.
Eh bien, from now on, we must be as quiet as the grave.
Che. I just wish as long as you're showing off your English, you'd picked another figure of speech.
Enter my castle, Valerie.
Oh, it is like a castle. Medieval. The Dark Tower. Well, what's this, the dungeon?
Nothing so terrible. This is where they put the flour in the bags.
And that great wooden chute that comes down from the ceiling?
The millstones ground the grain and fed it down that chute as flour to be bagged.
Oh, it's a strange, musty smell.
Oh, upstairs, we will be away from it. Come, come. There are hundreds of old flour bags dried out and rotting away. I keep meaning to have them moved. They are a real fire hazard.
Oh, these stairs. They're never ending.
I must apologize for my strange quarters.
I think it's exciting. And it's romantic.
Excuse me. This is my studio and my living quarters. You will find it more comfortable, I think.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And how unique. So those are the millstones. Ooh, this one from floor to ceiling. It must weigh tons. How does it work?
Well, there used to be a grain elevator that brought the rough grain up here and through a chute so it passed between the big turning stone and the other beneath it on the floor. I cleared everything out but the stones.
Oh, do the stones still turn?
I'm afraid not anymore. The sails are long ago rotted out from the vanes. You know the big arms that caught the wind?
Mm.
And the machinery is old and rusty.
Oh, it's fascinating.
I'm glad you find it so.
You don't?
That was yesterday. I am more interested in today. Mm-hmm. I find you much more fascinating.
In time, Hendrik. In good time.
Yes, but I promised to play for you. What would you like to hear?
I leave that up to you. Play as you feel.
As I feel. Then it must be this.
What's going on down there, Inspector? For the love of...
There is nothing to worry about as long as he is playing the piano.
I can't stand.
found it.
We've got to do something.
We are, monsieur. We are waiting.
For how long?
Who knows? The trap is baited. We are waiting for the rat to make himself ready to bite.
Unbelievable.
What music?
Not the music. You, Valerie. I adore you. Beyond reason. And I have to know.
To know what?
What I asked you on the beach 2 days ago. Do you love me?
Well, that's so hard to answer.
Why?
Well, I don't know if I could ever be satisfied with second best.
What do you mean? Second best.
Your wife. I read the transcript of the trial. I was there, and you yourself told me. You said you loved her completely. How can any man who is loved like that ever love completely again?
Is that all that stands between us?
Isn't it enough?
We are alone. Supposing I were to tell you the truth. That I hated her. That I couldn't stand her.
But you said that
while I was on trial, I could scarcely admit it. But it's true. I loathed her. I was trapped. She was like a stone around my neck.
You almost sound as if...
As if I had actually murdered her.
I didn't say that.
But that's what you meant. If I had a wife. And she stood between you and me. And there was no other way out but murder. I would do it for you.
You would kill her? Shoot her?
Anything. Anything to possess you.
No, no, Hendrik, please. You're too demanding. Please, wait.
Wait, what for? You and I, we have something beyond this world. An excitement beyond bearing.
Well, when I see you like this, I almost believe you would dare anything.
Anything. Anything.
You did kill her. You killed your wife, Eve, didn't you?
All right. If that is what you have to know, yes. Yes, I killed her. That is what you needed to know, wasn't it?
It's what I had to know.
Had to... No, don't touch that handbag.
You're hurting me.
Give me that bag. A gun.
Jeff! Inspector, he has my gun!
A trap!
Open.
You tried to catch me! The door and this bar that holds it are of solid oak, oh. Valerie. Your inspector and your boyfriend can hammer at it for 1,000 years without so much as shaking it.
It's no use, Hendrik. They have your confession recorded.
The small good it will do them.
What are you doing?
Breaking my kerosene lamp. Fuel to light a funeral pyre.
No, you must be mad. You can't mean to burn us all.
Not all, my darling. Just you and your friends.
Oh, no.
I shall be leaving. No, no. Please don't move, or I'll shoot you. I need this lamp from the piano to light my way out and to set fire to those old dry sacks down there. The mill is all wood, dried out by years of sun and wind. It'll go up like a torch.
No, you're only making things worse for yourself.
If I were caught, how many times could they guillotine me? Besides, everyone will think I have been roasted to death here with you. Now, before I go, I have a score to settle with you.
Must you kill everything you love?
What have I left to love?
Me? Hendrik, we could still go away together. I'm rich. We could be married. I'd never
tell... You betrayed me once. You'll betray me again.
Oh.
Keep away from me or I'll shoot. What are you looking at?
The millstone.
What?
It's turning.
The brake. It's not holding. Let go of my arm.
Stop that gun.
My foot. It's caught. No!
Can't we do anything for him.
Take it easy, darling. You couldn't get within 50 yards of that blaze.
When the roof went, it became one enormous chimney.
Don't waste any tears on him, Val.
No, no, he deserved to die, but not the way. I just don't understand. How did the stones start rolling? What started them?
I did. When we couldn't get out that door, we had to get to you somehow. There was a window from the attic. I managed to jump from it to one of the weather vanes. When my weight hit that arm, it started to turn.
Oh, so that's what started the millstone. But you saved all our lives, darling.
Except for the one who deserved to die. Le bon Dieu saw to that.
Hmm.
Enfin, the mills of the gods grind slowly, but they grind exceeding fine.
The inspector's words were prophetic, for the fire was never brought under control, and the old windmill burned to the ground, a mass of charred cinders and ashes. Only the gigantic wheels remained, undamaged, fallen together to the ground and embedded there, upright, standing like two great tombstones. But of the corpse they marked, not one shred remained. Hendrik Van Dorn, or Jean Rochelle, had vanished as if he had never been. I'll be back shortly.
Morning. Greenhaven State Prison. The day Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too. About 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you. Excited?
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
One parting note you might find of interest. The famous lines the inspector quoted were originally written by Friedrich von Logau. Longfellow only translated them in a poem called Retribution. And there are two more lines which are not so familiar, but in this case, very apt. Though the mills of God grind slowly, they grind exceeding small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness grinds he all. Our cast included Joan Copeland, Tony Roberts, Paul Hecht, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Ever since you came here, I have the feeling I'm not talking to Carlos Ukaila, but to a stubborn Incan Indian desperately clinging to beliefs that were exploded 500 years ago.
I don't like the idea of your being in danger.
Oh, come off it, Carlos. You're far too intelligent to believe in the supernatural power of some words written by some old Indian on a five-century-old death mask. To say you believe that is...
It's the height of idiocy.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6. CBS has world and national news on the hour. Alan Archer has local. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
News. The special Senate committee probing the CIA is scheduled to hear today from reputed mobster John Roselli. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The committee plans to question Roselli about his reported role in an alleged plot to assassinate Cuban Premier Fidel Castro in 1960. Roselli was an alleged associate of Sam Giancano, who was murdered last week. Giancana was the reputed leader of Chicago gangland. The committee has reportedly planned to subpoena Giancana. A committee meeting yesterday was delayed indefinitely, and we'll hear about it from Daniel Shore.
The Senate Intelligence Committee postponed questioning McGeorge Bundy, President Kennedy's security advisor, and Chairman Frank Church said it was because of a delay in getting documents from the White House. Quoting President Ford's promise to supply all needed material, Senator Church said the White House was holding back on minutes of the National Security Council and its special groups which were needed to help establish the line of command on assassination plots. Church said he was not ready to accuse President Ford of bad faith, but wondered aloud whether the president was being overruled by his subordinates. A White House aide called Senator Church's remarks regrettable, denied any delay in delivering documents specifically asked for, said it took time to gather some, but nothing has been refused. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
If you've begun to doubt that initiative and personal dedication to a job can still be found, there is a man who can help you. He can put you in touch with some of the hardest working men and women in every field. People who have come through their disabilities with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. If you want people with initiative working at your company, write your state director of vocational rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Secretary of State Kissinger told a group in Atlanta last night that the primary issues remain unresolved in the Mideast crisis and that both sides must make concessions. Kissinger did not specify the concessions, but he urged all countries involved to take seriously President Ford's repeated warning that the U.S. will not accept a stalemate. In his speech to the Southern Council on International and Public Affairs and the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, Kissinger also warned American allies not to pressure the U.S. with threats of breaking off ties. Kissinger was referring to Turkey, which has threatened to begin closing American bases in Turkey unless Congress lifts an arms embargo. Delegates to the World Food Council continue meeting today in Rome, and Winston Burdett has a report.
A world problem of the greatest human urgency, facing an obstacle course of political and financial difficulties. That is the story of the World Food Council, the recently created United Nations body which held its opening session in Rome, charged with the task of taking action to feed the world's 400 million hungry people. The Council's American director, John Hanna, told the delegates of 33 countries that its major goals were still unmet in the fight against hunger. Last year's proposal for international collaboration to set up a permanent world reserve of food stocks, this key proposal is still in the discussion stage, getting no encouragement whatever from one of the world's chief grain producers, Soviet Russia. At this week's meeting, it is hoped that the Council may get pledges to meet its target of 10 million tons of emergency food aid, the amount that is needed to see the hungry countries through the crisis of the coming year. Winston Burdett, CBS News, Rome.
A report from Beirut says police have the situation under control in the city's suburbs after firing broke out early this morning. It's the same area where right-wing phalangists and Palestinian commandos battled last month. Now this message.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing CBS News' next bicentennial special on the CBS radio network, American Profile, with correspondent Charles Osgood.
One of the more colorful characters of revolutionary days was Joseph Brant, a highly educated Mohawk war chief who served as Great Britain's Secretary of Indian Affairs in 1774. In London, Brant was received at the Royal Court, entertained by James Boswell, and had his portrait painted by American artist Benjamin West. I'll be telling you more about him on American Profile.
Joseph Brant is just one of the remarkable early Americans you'll hear about on American Profile. For example, did you know that Phyllis Wheatley was our nation's first recognized black poet? Or that Robert Morris and Haim Salomon helped finance the revolution? Listen for the true stories of these and many other outstanding patriots and rebels on American Profile, 30 special broadcasts with Charles Osgood, the weekend of July 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Former U.S. Treasurer Ivy Baker Priest died of cancer last night in a Santa Monica hospital. Mrs. Priest was 69 years old. She had been U.S. Treasurer during the Eisenhower administrations and later was California State Treasurer. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The trial of Washington State Senator August Martasich is underway in Seattle following the completion of jury selection yesterday. A jury of 8 women and 4 men was selected in federal court to hear the case against Martasich. He's accused of extorting $10,000 from 2 garbage haulers in return for his support of favorable legislation and of failing to report the money as income. Martasich maintains his innocence and says the money was a campaign contribution, not a bribe. Visiting U.S. District Judge Charles Renfrew of San Francisco is presiding over the trial. A man and a woman sentenced to prison for harboring convicted murderer Carl Cletus Bowles following his escape from the Oregon State Prison are expected to appeal their convictions. A federal charge Monday sentenced 30-year-old Raymond Eaglin to 4 years in prison and 24-year-old Eva Agnes Kutis to 2 years in prison. The 2 other defendants in the same trial, 24-year-old Sarah Maltzman and Greg Louiquan, were acquitted. Bowles is currently an inmate at the Idaho State Prison at Boise, but may soon be moved to Spokane temporarily to face murder charges. He's accused of the slaying of Earl and Viola Hunter of Eugene, Oregon. It'll be a case of no new highway construction in Washington State unless the legislature acts to approve a gasoline tax increase. The State Highway Commission has approved preliminary guidelines prepared by Highways Director George Andrews that call for new major highway construction in the next 2 years. The Highways Department has been faced the last several months with declining revenues, and it's for that reason that the Commission approved the guidelines. To further illustrate the problem, the Commission has been told that $40 million in construction contracts scheduled for this month have been deferred. Help has arrived for 7 Oregon child care centers threatened with having to close down because of delays in receiving needed federal funds. Officials of the Migrant and Indian Coalition had said that daycare centers would be forced to close down because funds already committed to them had not yet arrived. But the state of Oregon now says the centers will remain open at least until July 3rd because money will be available for continued operation. At the meantime, members of Oregon's congressional delegation are working to get the federal money moving in the direction of the 7 daycare centers. And Montana Democrats say they plan to use that state's first presidential primary election next year for selecting delegates to the party's national convention. State Party Chairman John Bartlett says convention delegates will be apportioned on the basis of the number of votes each particular candidate receives in the primary. Bartlett says the system will ensure that the state's minority viewpoints will be represented at the national convention. Weather for the Portland metropolitan area, partial clearing with a chance of showers today, rain likely tonight and Wednesday. Highs in the mid-60s, lows near 50, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain, 40% today, increasing to 70% tonight. At the airport, there's light rain and showers. Temperature is 56, wind from the northwest at 7 miles per hour. Barometer reads 29.89 and up slightly, relative humidity 83%. Downtown, it's 56. That's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.